Welcome to Sun Sounds of Arizona. I'm Andrea Pasquale, and today we have a special program on design for aging. My guests today are Jeanette Knutson from Design for a Lifespan and Nancy Tassell from Copywriting by Tassell. And together, you've written a book, Design Your Retirement Lifestyle, How to Make Your Money Last as You Age in Place. Welcome to Sun Sounds.
Thank you.
Thank you. Excited to be here.
Now, first, I just want to get a little bit of background. Now, Jeanette, what's your background?
Well, I'm an award-winning designer, and I'm located in Mesa, Arizona. The name of our firm is Design for a Lifespan, and we specialize in design for aging, universal design, and then what we call toe-tag homes, which is basically living at home until our last days. So I am the only designer in the area to serve on the National Design for Aging Council for the American Society of Interior Designers. I'm an author. I'm a certified living in place professional. I'm an allied member of the American Society of Interior Designers. And I'm also a member of the City of Mesa Design Review Board.
Now, how did you get into designing for a lifetime?
Actually, by accident. I took a design class as a final class when I was going through school, through my college years, and I fell in love with it. But I was too far along in the program and decided, okay. So I just put it on the back burner, and I thought, if I ever have the opportunity to go back to school, that's what I'm going to specialize in. So that's what I did as I went back to school, studied design, and then discovered that, oh, wait, design can do much, much more than just be pretty. It can really change people's lives. So that's when I fell in love with universal design and said, that's what I want to do.
Now, Nancy, what is your background?
Well, actually, my background is medical technology. I started out as a laboratory worker. I'm a medical technologist and went into the medical diagnostic industry. So my comfort level was more with science and equations and things that are very definite. So when I learned about it, I've been retired for several years, and in 2013, I read about a course on copywriting. And what I liked about it was something that I felt I could do until I just literally can't pick up a pencil again or type on a keyboard. So I decided to just go ahead and study the course and get into copywriting. I realized that I really like writing, and my first client is Jeanette, and I've been writing for her for, well, going on 5 years now. When I saw the principles behind the universal design and design for aging, I can tell you it's been very easy to write for because I can see the benefits to people.
So how did you two get together for this book?
Well, I was already writing for Jeanette. We met through Sharon Stover, who's a master networker in the East Valley. She had brought us together, and so we knew each other. Then when I started the writing, I started writing for Jeanette. And again, we're going on about 5 years of working together.
Now, Jeanette, can you explain, what is universal design? What is design for aging? Could there be a few different terms for it?
Sure. So basically, here's a quick definition for universal design. It's a design process that adapts environments to the needs of people of all ages and degrees of mobility. So what that actually means is our homes are designed for us. Actually, our homes are designed so that they adapt to us as we move through our lifespan. The home is easy to use at 1 as well as 101. So the other thing that I love about universal design is no matter what life throws at us, our home is still our home. We don't have to leave it. So it gives us peace of mind knowing that we have that behind us. And then design for aging, which is actually better known in the industry as aging in place, that takes universal design to the next step. And it actually is more designed towards, it's an inclusive design towards 45 and older. So you will see features such as, the dishwasher raised, the microwave lowered, non-slip flooring, comfortable height toilets. I mean, the list just goes on, curbless showers, multi-level countertops in the kitchen, and products would be like side-by-side or French door refrigerators.
I'm going to ask you more about some of those designs in a couple of minutes.
You bet.
Now, what prompted you to write the book?
Actually, I'm the instigator of that.
Yes, you were.
A friend of ours, a mutual friend, had joined a business networking group called Superstition Mountain Regional Business Alliance, and she mentioned a guy named Mike Lamb, who was one of the founders, who was going to be helping people write books. I went, ooh, I'm looking for work, and maybe he'll need a writer to help him with writing multiple books. And I sat down with him for well over 2 hours. And, of course, one of the things I did is I took some samples of my writing, much of which was from the writing I've been doing, the content on Jeanette's website. And that brought around about the design and how people were always looking for information. And he said, you know, I don't think anybody has a book out like that. So he said, okay, that seeded the idea of writing a book. Went home and I called Jeanette and said, guess what? We're writing a book.
And I said, okay.
That was easy. And, you know, and I have been looking through this book, and it's very enlightening. It's very, very enlightening on some of the things that seem so obvious, but you forget. And I spoke to you earlier that I'm in the process of renovating a couple of bathrooms. And this book has actually helped me to focus on maybe some things that I need to pay attention to that I really wasn't thinking about.
That's good news.
Now, what are some of the first steps somebody can take to make their home a little bit more aging friendly, something without a lot of cost?
Well, actually, Andrea, it's one of the things that I really like about the book is that it shows people. We talk about just very simple steps like decluttering. That's one of the very basic steps of making your home safer, because what you're looking for is free passage throughout your home. And we even brought in Andrea Brundage, who is a professional organizer. She contributed to the book. The other thing, there's a designer in Scottsdale, Mary Fisher Knotts, who focuses on ergonomics. And her business focuses around making items that you use frequently within easy reach, so that you're not putting yourself off balance in order to get the things that you need to work with on a day-to-day basis. These are things that people can literally do on their own with no cost, basically, if they're motivated. And we have 14 design tips, and they are anywhere from a small investment to medium or larger investments that people can do that will change their homes and make their homes safer. So there's a variety of things people can do without cashing in all their reserves.
Now, when you say decluttering, give me an example.
Oh, a very simple example is, you know, people start collecting things over the years. And I used to be in real estate. I walked into a home where they had several glass cabinets of all the things that, you know, the tchotchkes they collected from travel or presents and things like that. And what it was literally doing was making passage through the living room, from the front door through the living room, was rather narrow. And so what you need to do is start taking a look at what do you absolutely need to have, and what can you maybe place somewhere else or maybe get rid of. We certainly are on a decluttering nationwide. We know we have too many things. So what you do is you start looking at what am I actually using from day to day, and what could I just either get rid of or put somewhere else that gives me a chance to walk through, whether I'm walking on my own 2 feet or may need a walker or crutches, because this can happen to anybody who is in an accident. They're on crutches. They need a little more space. So you're looking to widen your passages and just get things that are taking up space, either get them pushed back further or get rid of them completely.
Now let's talk cords.
Oh, biggie.
I'm sure one of your favorite topics.
With the electronics we have these days, there's just way too many cords out there, and those can catch a foot so easily. So again, it's a matter of taking a look through your home and saying, where do I have things that could trip me up?
You know, and to add to that, with the advance of our technology, there are companies that can come out and automate our homes so that we can do wireless. So that's the time to, you know, we can start getting rid of cords and start looking at the new products and technologies that's up and coming. So that helps with the cords. And
I just look at the amount of chargers.
Oh, absolutely.
You know, because we're charging our cell phones, we're charging our tablets.
Right.
If you have a computer, there's that whole bank of cords.
Yes, exactly.
Televisions.
Exactly.
And everything that gets hooked up to televisions.
Exactly.
It's just an absolute mess.
Yes.
And again, a lot of the products that are coming out, like TV credenzas, they take into consideration all of those cords. So they're designing them so in the back, you can mount them in the back so that they're not on the floor. They don't clutter the walkway. They don't clutter your design. It looks very, very seamless. And then again, a lot of the smart TVs. So you're getting rid of a lot of that unnecessary tripping hazards and something that doesn't look good.
What are other tripping hazards people should be aware of?
Other tripping hazards?
Well, throw rugs are a biggie.
Yeah, we need to be careful of throw rugs. In my home, I have a typical 1984 home. At that time, it was really a big thing to have multi-levels. So our billiard room has a step. And even though I have made sure that there's a contrast between the flooring and the carpet, I have still tripped multiple times.
I remember looking for homes, and I saw some of those with the sunken living room, and I said, unless we have paramedics living next door,
precisely. Exactly.
Those homes were completely off the market for me.
Yep.
I know me.
Yep.
Now, what about any other placement of stuff on the floor? I know, my house, I have a little basket with books or blankets in it. Is that something to be aware of or something that we could make work in many homes?
As long as it doesn't obstruct the passageway, we should have at least 36 inches to be able to pass easily between the wall and the sofa. So it's just a matter of making sure that there's clean walkways.
So if they have something next to a chair or a couch that really is not in the way of anything, that's okay.
Correct.
But it's when it's blocking the walking path.
Correct.
That becomes a hazard.
Yep.
I would say when you're looking, you know where it is, but you're having to step a little bit out of your way to go around it. That's a clue. You say, oh, I know this is here. I'll just walk around it. If you're saying that, then that whatever that is sticking out too far.
Mm-hmm.
Now, in the book, you mentioned making your kitchen work better for you. Explain that, please.
So Nancy had mentioned the ergonomic, and we do have a nice little section in the book that is contributed to Mary Fish Knox. And basically it starts with organizing. So you would go through and you would take everything out of your kitchen cabinets and weed out anything that's broken or unused. And then there's strategic places to put items. And basically what you're doing is keeping track of, how far your arms go out. So one of the examples is instead of putting our dishes in the top cupboard, think about putting a drawer that's deep enough that you can pull it out and put your dishes in it. I did that for my mother-in-law. She absolutely loved that. And, as she got older, it was very, very difficult to reach. So basically, it's just a matter of keeping in mind what you're using, and the items that you use quite often, you keep them close by. And we just kind of keep an eye on how far we can reach up and how far we can reach down. And that's where you put items that you would use every day. And there's a few more, there's quite a few other tips, such as heavy items should be between the thigh and the shoulders. So it's just important to kind of keep those kind of things in mind, just as long as it's easy.
Well, when my dad was moving into his house, and he was in his late 80s, mid to late 80s at the time, and he was putting his shelves together, and he had these big heavy cans on the top shelf. And my husband said, No. We're moving.
Exactly.
You don't want to have to reach for something, and if it falls, it's going to hurt you.
Exactly.
And so I think we put the spices or something that was a lot softer.
Right.
I think paper goods or whatever.
Right. There's also things like zones in our kitchens. Zone A, Zone B, Zone C. Zone A, again, we're talking about items that we use all the time. So we want to keep those items within easy reach and within our work areas. Zone B would be the items that you use, but not as often as the everyday items. And zone C would be like our Christmas like the turkey roaster, yeah. those kind of things. So those could be stored in a, you know, in a different part of the house. So that's just another, you know, another tip to keep in mind with organizing the kitchen.
Now, you had mentioned something about ergonomics and about having different heights in the kitchen.
Oh, yes. So the first thing that comes to mind when you ask me that question, the different heights would be particularly in our kitchen countertops. So having varying heights, a height such as the traditional 36 that most of us use, and then to have one that's placed about 30 inches off the finished floor so that somebody in a chair or a small child or somebody short in stature could easily work in that particular countertop and that area. So, yeah, that's a biggie, if it's at all possible. And that would be something that would be done in a kitchen. And it can be done in a bathroom, but it would be done at the time of a remodel or a new build.
In your book, you mention how color makes a difference, or color blocking. What exactly is that?
Color is amazing. I see it as twofold. Number one, it's emotional. If we surround ourselves with color that we love, I know a lot of people will think that they have to follow the color trend. And I believe that we surround ourselves with a color that we love, because when we do, it becomes our home and our sanctuary. The other important part about color is contrast. So the contrast in the color would be when I talked about, I have that step between my family room and the billiard room. There's a contrast in color there that gives us a clue that, oh, there's a difference in height here. Let's beware. So when I think about the flooring and the baseboards and then the walls and the doors and the trim, if there's a variation in color, that's a contrast that gives individuals a clue that there is a change here. And that is really important for individuals who have issues with their eyesight. So color is important, not just that it's how it makes us feel, but the contrast and how it's a cue to an individual that there is a change here.
So somebody with low vision would benefit from color blocking.
Yes.
And making sure that passageways from one room to the other, there's a differentiation between rooms.
Yes.
And I would just add that this is one of those lower cost items that people can do, mm-hmm. because paint doesn't cost a lot. And right. That's one way you can make your home more safe.
Mm-hmm.
Nancy, I understand that you had Jeanette help you with a renovation. Is that correct?
Yes, she did. She mm-hmm. did the drawings for my bathroom.
And tell us what changes were made to that bathroom.
How much time do you have?
Okay, in 2 minutes.
Well, basically, my husband and I knew we have a very small master bathroom, and we knew that we had to make some changes in it. We had a tub that we did not need. A very small shower stall that was getting difficult to get in and out of.
I hear you.
Narrow doors. We had our toilet, like so many, in that little closet area with a small door going into it. So we initially thought we could just make a couple changes, and it would be expensive, but we didn't think it would be too bad. But with working with Jeanette and starting to write about the universal design, I knew that we really needed to do something much more drastic. So we literally gutted and recreated our entire bathroom. And essentially, of course, the tub came out. We put the toilet where the tub used to be. We did the curbless shower. We were fortunate. We could do a curbless shower, and it depends on your foundation as to whether you can do one. But we were fortunate to do that. And things like that I would have never thought of, we widened the door just to get into the bathroom, and we made it a pocket door instead of a swing-in door. Our shower door swings both ways. So if one of us were to fall in the shower, nobody will be trapped because you can mm-hmm. open the door out. At the time, Kohler was, I think, the only one that had a balance bar built into the shower mount. So we now have a balance bar that nobody knows is a balance bar, and it'll hold up to 250 pounds. So, again, I mean, it was a big investment based on cost. I think it was well worth it. We were fortunate we were able to do it the way we did. But I can tell you the peace of mind I've had, because my husband is 16 years older than I am, and he is shuffling these days and still on his own 2 feet. But I feel like the curbless shower was one of the best things I could have done. Plus, I just love it. And every time I showed the bathroom off to everybody who wants to come in and take a look at it, what I've really enjoyed is that people who are the millennial age group walk in the shower and go, wow, what a cool shower. Mm-hmm. So there's nothing about our bathroom that says older people. And that's part of, to me, the magic of the universal design is you can do this and it's ageless, literally. And it's not just a safer kind of thing. It's an improvement, and it really looks great.
And, you know, I said when we were doing our showers over, and that's one of the things I suggested was some kind of, well, they're not called grab bars anymore. They're called balance bars.
Right? Well, we call them balance bars. And
so I said, okay, and I asked you, is there anything that will look pretty that doesn't look institutional? And we found a couple really nice designs. And it's one of those things where you could have a little soap dish holder that doubles as a balance bar or something that holds your shower head.
Right.
So you can incorporate it without it screaming, older person's home.
Right. Exactly.
You know, I would like to add, when I was designing their bathroom, it is a small space. But what I found really exciting is I have a checklist that's 5 pages long that I have to take into consideration when I do my designs. And when I talk about inches matter. You know, she talks about widening the door, how wide the shower is. Now, there was not enough turning room in their bathroom for a wheelchair to be able to make a 360 turn. So there was another way I had to design it. And this is where the inches matter. And it's called a T-square. So I had to make sure that there was enough room. And we did that in the bathroom. If either one of them ever had to use the assistance of a wheelchair. So, but the most exciting thing was, how many designs did I come up with?
Like
six or seven?
Seven.
And that little space, because I took everything out and there were certain criterias we needed to follow. You know, like I didn't want to take out their great big picture window, which was over the bathtub, the window in the shower. Mm-hmm. So being able to keep those in place not only saved them additional cost, but I still was able to come up with 7 different designs for them to choose from. So it was very, very personal to you.
Well, it's a 6.5 by 14 foot room. That's how small our master bath is.
Yeah, it was fun. It was fun. But those are the things that, you know, people don't matter that the inches matter. You have to have so many inches on each side of the toilet.
Yeah.
So many inches next to the sinks, and if it's a double sink. So, you know, those are the things that people don't see. But when they walk into your bathroom, it's like, oh, this is gorgeous.
Yeah.
Now, with a couple minutes we have left, I want to know, if somebody wants to stay in their home, what renovations would you recommend? What should they avoid? And what are some cost-efficient things that people can do right now?
One of the first things that I would do is, before anybody even does any kind of renovation, is to double check to make sure, is this going to be cost effective? Does the home contain some of the universal designs that are necessary in order to, you know, invest the money into the renovations? So some of the basic things is, you know, is it a single level? And if it's not a single level, do we have a kitchen, a full bathroom, bedroom, and a entertainment center down there, or in the bottom level? So those are the big things. You know, is the entry door wide enough to even be able to get into the home? So there's that would be the first thing, is to evaluate the home. Is it cost effective? If it's going to cost more to renovate it to stay there, then maybe not. But I am finding that the biggest, you know, if the basics are there, it's got the good bones for universal design. The biggest things that I'm seeing are renovations in the bathroom and the kitchen. Because the kitchen, we spend a lot of time in the kitchen. Bathrooms can be very, very dangerous. And we spend a lot of time in the bathrooms.
I found that something as simple as door handles. When we moved into our home, we did all the levers, the door levers, as opposed to the knobs.
Yes.
Good move.
Yes, that and C or D shape handles in the kitchens and the bathroom so that they're easy to open and close.
And I will say for kitchen handles, drawer pulls, one of my friends noted that we were looking for a bar to go over, but the bar was not connected on either side. It was kind of an open type of bar. And she goes, your clothes are going to get caught on it all the
time.
And I'd never thought of that. Mm-hmm. So she says, if you want to use like a, you call it a C-bar, make sure it's connected to the drawer or whatever.
Yes.
Because she says, that will drive you crazy.
Right.
You'll rip clothes.
Exactly. And the other thing is to make sure that it's wide enough that you can put your whole hand.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yeah. So I always specify 7 inches. And then that way there's plenty of room. Plus it also gives it that designer look because they're bigger.
Now, a lot of people may say, gee, these designs are going to cost a lot of money. But you equate it with going to an assisted living facility and how much the cost per year is for an assisted living facility as opposed to how much making the changes are, which can keep you out of an assisted living facility for many years. Can you talk about that very briefly?
That's exactly what people need to look at. So often, one of the things that I like about our book is that we do have remodel projects, which are costly. But as we've mentioned earlier on, there's a lot of things you can do without sinking a lot of money into making your home safer. However, if you are fortunate that you want to do a remodel and you have the means to do it, there's a little bit different paradigm, I feel, because normally what we do is we say, well, what's our return on investment? And basically what you're looking at is deferring assisted living, which is much more expensive. And we felt with our bathroom, it would only take 2 years to actually make up the cost and come out ahead.
My guests today have been Design for a Lifespan. It's Jeanette Knutson from Design for a Lifespan, Nancy Tassell from Copywriting by Tassell, and together they have written the book, Design Your Retirement Lifestyle, How to Make Your Money Last as You Age in Place. How do we get this book?
Well, it's easy. It's on Amazon. You can get either electronic or hard copy. We have worked with a local printer, and anybody is local can always go to Jeanette's website or go to my Facebook page, which is Copywriting by Tassell. Just let us know. We'll be happy to get a book to you.
Okay, what is your website, Jeanette?
My website is www.designforalifespan.com.
Well, thank you very much for coming. You've opened our eyes to some simple things to design for a lifetime. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
I'm Andrea Pasquale, and you're listening to Sun Sounds of Arizona.